Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Man, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
Have tension. You can always make up.
Like, forget owing it to the fans to bring Antonio Brown back. He owes it to Tom Brady.
Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I would think so.
Yes. Yes. Love it.
I could see Kraft and Brown, yeah, you know, making up.
Not a chance.
Dunsky, Dale Arnold.
Everybody's so sick of the Patriots in the United States, basically.
Oh,
that
so
it would make a good storyline.
I'm tired of all this winning.
Rich Keith.
If your kid was playing against the Patriots in a Super Bowl, you wouldn't want your kid to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I'm sorry, all three of us are pushing the BS button on Wiggy's thought comment there.
I don't know.
Yeah, total
it's not
BS.
A lie if
total
you believe
BS.
It. He doesn't even believe it.
Not even a question. I guarantee he loves his son. And when his son gets into a Super Bowl, he'll want that. He'll want his son to feel the same feelings he had.
He's got a ring. He'd want his son to have a
of
ring.
Of course he does.
Not against the Pats, though.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah. Huh? As long as they play anybody else.
You don't want him to have more rings than you do because then they hold it over you forever.
Well, he's not going to have to worry about it because by the time Wiggy's son is in the NFL, that's probably the year where the Patriots finally fall off.
Good point.
They won't be good.
Tom Brady will retire at the age of 52.
he's going into his eighth grade year.
Yep.
As we get back to the calls, a quick note. The Bruins are playing tonight in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche.
Ooh, fun night for you.
Yeah, I know. It was 80 yesterday. It's a blizzard today in Denver.
There you go.
I'm looking at video that Matt Porter of the Globe has posted, and it is like a blizzard right now in Denver.
Yeah.
Which is what happens out there. It'll go from 80 to...
Yeah, it is. But they don't get whacked with as much snow as you would think. The Rockies, just to the west of Denver, take up a lot of it. But when they get hit pretty hard. But it's not as common as you would think. My daughter was living there for 7 years,
you get more snow in like Syracuse.
Yeah, oh,
like much more.
Oh, hell yeah. But still, even so, good thing you're here and not there.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the studio. Of course, it'll be late. Now we do have monitors, so I'll have the football game up over here while I'm working. And
not going to be much of a game, I don't think, Dale.
Yeah,
I think you're
going
to be all right.
It probably isn't.
I really don't think so. I mean, I know it can get gross out there, but I feel like more often than not, it ends up getting overstated. And I know wind and rain is worse than snow, but still, we've seen Tom Brady play through all of it. The defense is so good.
He usually comes out flinging in the bad weather games.
You're right. Yeah. It's curious.
I have a feeling they're going to be just fine.
By the way, a self-serving note here. If you're down at Gillette tonight in the wind and rain, I'll point out to you that on your smartphone, if you have the Nesson app, you can watch the Bruins and Colorado Avalanche while you're at Gillette Stadium.
Real win-win.
Watching the Patriots.
If it's that boring a game.
Yeah,
you know,
it might be
two undefeated Boston teams playing tonight.
Right,
I like that.
You can keep track of both of them. Who will lose the
game first? Patriots or Bruins?
The Bruins.
Jeez, have a little faith, would you?
Well, I don't think the Patriots are going to lose one for a while.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a month or so.
Yeah, definitely not in October.
No.
And I'd say the chances of the Bruins going undefeated in the month of October.
Start. Yeah, hot start for them.
Hell of a start for them if they pull that off. But all right, back to the call, 617-779-7937. Mary's on the cell phone. Hey, Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
How's the reception? I'm in the car.
You sound great, Mary.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going over to the Finger Lakes, and we'll be watching the Patriots tonight with great enthusiasm there.
Nice. Excellent.
Nice.
I'm calling because I've been an athlete all my life and follow the Patriots religiously. My whole family does.
Sure.
And I'm concerned about the Antonio Brown situation because of the message that it sends to women and teenagers and children. that if you reinstate someone who's up on charges, what's the message that people get? And what message does Robert Kraft want to send out if he rehires Antonio Brown? What do you guys think?
Hey, Mary, what are those charges he's up on?
Well, just the case against the woman in Florida.
The civil case,
the civil
right?
Suit, civil right. Case.
Mary, you've been, it sounds like you've been a Patriots fan for a long time. Yeah. What were your thoughts when they brought in Corey Dillon?
Yeah, I know. Well, the messages can be the same, can't they?
I think winning's the message, really, to be honest, Mary. I think winning and football first is
I didn't want the Patriots to bring Antonio Brown in to begin with. And not because I didn't know about the Brittany Taylor lawsuit.
No, we didn't even know about that stuff.
I didn't want them to bring him in because I thought he was a disruptive influence. All you have to do is look at what he did in Oakland during training camp, and I thought there was a pretty good chance it was not going to end well here, as it didn't end well in Pittsburgh, didn't end well in Oakland.
Right. Self-destructive.
And I think that if the Patriots were to bring him back, and I think there's virtually no chance of that happening, but if they did, I think you run the risk that he is a disruptive influence again.
Don't you think Peter King gave us a higher number on a scale of 1 to 10? I was prepared for the negative 6. Or nope, 3. I was like, 3? That's a chance. So I would say, you know, maybe the best case now. I thought he was going to get picked up by a team. It hasn't happened yet. And so probably the best chance is he doesn't return to any team. But now it could be the next step that he plays for the Patriots more so than he plays for, say, the Chiefs or the Seahawks or the Cowboys or some other team.
Well, probably the reason he hasn't been picked up is because the threat of the exemption.
Yeah, they just don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Right,
for
I would not. I don't trust the NFL front office. I wouldn't be surprised if they were quicker to do it if the Patriots signed him up.
If he was on a team, I think they would be quicker to do it. He's not, so he's like they're almost considering it like not really our problem.
Yeah, but
I also wonder, do you think there's any chance that the league or owners like Jerry Jones or whoever else have contacted the league and said, you know, if we signed Antonio Brown, what's the likelihood he's going to be able to play? And they're like, you can, but just so you know, he's probably going to be. Now, you can't do that.
That's
if Rosenhaus got win. Yeah, right. But I mean, could that be a possibility why teams haven't signed him is because they might even have a little bit more information as to whether or not he could come back.
And it doesn't even take a direct quote or anything from the, you know, Roger Goodell would go like,
that's all you need. Like, okay, thanks.
Why do we believe that Jerry Jones wouldn't call Roger Goodell and say, or Robert Kraft for that matter, if he wanted to bring him back and he doesn't? I could see Jerry Jones calling Roger and say, listen, we're thinking about this. Mm-hmm. If we sign him, are you going to put him on the exempt list? And to your point,
Yeah, that's the thing is does Roger Goodell give him an answer? And just say, as of right now, he's all set. Like, thanks for the call. Bye. And then you just have no extra information? Or does he sort of lead you down that road of, Antonio Brown and Rosenhaus would have a hell of a case. If they could prove that anywhere.
Right.
That's sort of like it brings back up, you know, Colin Kaepernick again. Like, all right, what's keeping the guy out of the league?
But it's not. The difference is what Kaepernick is alleging is some sort of collusion among the owners in the NFL. If it was a simple Jerry Jones saying to Roger Goodell, listen, if we sign this guy, are you going to put him on the exempt list?
Well, no, but some people think Kaepernick is.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to be honest, that may happen here.
No, but some people believe, we're talking about Antonio Brown, not Kaepernick, but some people believe that Kaepernick, that was from the league. It wasn't just two owners saying, hey, I won't sign him if you don't sign him. It's sort of what's in the best interest for the league is if nobody signs him. So if that's what they're saying about Antonio Brown, or if they're just suggesting that, you know, we didn't punish him at all while he was playing.
Right.
All the stuff he did in Oakland, hands off. All the stuff we learned about in New England, hands off. He wasn't on the exempt list and then got cut by the Pats. That didn't happen. He was going to play on Sunday. He practiced all that whole week, and we'd heard about the allegations way earlier, and yet he was still going to play. So I just wonder if teams have been scared away by the league.
I would think so, and I'm surprised that it's been that many teams because he is one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Do think that there's a limited number of teams who would consider taking him on. I mean, if you're that group of teams that we said have zero chance, the Cincinnati Bengals aren't wondering how they can get you know, Antonio Brown on the roster.
No, absolutely not. But I could think of five or six teams. I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I think it's not like, well, everybody in the league would want that guy.
No, no, no. It's not 32 teams would be interested. But I could see, again, Cowboys, Eagles,
teams
Chiefs.
That might be in the hunt.
Yeah, any team that think, like, every team right now is chasing the Patriots. Even though it's sometimes, you know, Tom Brady might not feel like that's the case. That right, is the right. case. Everybody right now is chasing the Patriots. So is there a team out there, whether it's San Francisco or whatever, that says, you know what? If we add the best receiver in football, does that put us over the top? Worth a shot.
His immense talent can make a team think like that. And you're right. There will be some teams that are on that next tier down below Kansas City and the Patriots and, I don't know, maybe even the Saints, the way they're playing.
Baltimore's,
like I said, after week two, they're sort of fraudulent. But, but again, there's a team that, right on the verge. That's a good point, actually.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that might
right.
get them
that's
there.
That's a good point. That's a team that's on the verge of maybe getting over the top with a guy of that talent.
Like, the AFC South is so jumbled together that, and again, I'm not saying it would work in Tennessee because I think Mariota would, you know, miss them and it'd be a mess. But I'm saying those four teams are all so similar that if any of them added a player like that without giving anything up, they might become the favorite.
Houston's not the best team in that conference, probably.
I give them that, but yeah. People like Indianapolis,
yeah,
you know, and then Jacksonville and Tennessee actually have decent defenses. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't think any team that comes out of there is a playoff threat. I mean, in the playoffs.
No,
but
definitely not.
No, you're right. And but again, we are acknowledging the immense talent that Antonio Brown has, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some team halfway through the year take a shot at it. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if there's an injury or two.
John's right. in New Hampshire. Hey, John, how you doing?
John! Johnny!
Hello, John.
John's up in New Hampshire.
I'll put John on hold.
Taking a snooze.
See if you can find him. Chris in Amherst. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling about the Thursday night.
Sure.
I never understand why they don't add an extra week to the season and an extra bye and always guarantee the bye. A team gets a bye leading into that Thursday night game.
The problem is the bye weeks don't start until week four.
And that's kind of early.
And you've got 16 games, so you got 16 weeks of Thursday night football. It really doesn't work.
But with two byes, you could start it earlier. And the teams, you know, the schedule is a little bit of a crapshoot anyways for these teams. So they get two byes. One's a full bye and one's a half a bye around a Thursday night game on each side.
Well, don't they have half a bye already?
They already kind of do, right? If they play, like, so the Patriots play this Thursday, then they won't play again until a week from Sunday.
Sunday or Monday.
Or actually,
Monday.
For them, Monday. So
it turns out with them, it's Monday.
I just don't know. And then if you're adding extra weeks, and I know there's always been the proposal of adding more regular season games and all that, I think they have the setup pretty good right now. And I know that doesn't mean they won't tinker with it because it's the NFL. But they start the first week of September, and they're done the first weekend in February. And that allows you to have a bye for every team. It allows you to have a couple of byes in the playoffs, mm-hmm. even though you have the wild card weekend. And then it gives you the bye before the Super Bowl. If you start, you're taking something away, or what, are we going to play the Super Bowl at the end of February? Like, what?
I
what
don't
are we
want another bye week. I mean, as a fan.
But
I mean,
they go,
I understand from a player's perspective. Right. As a fan, I mean, I don't even like the bye week that you have.
Yeah.
Now what you have is a bye and a half this year, you know, with the way the Thursday works out.
And to that caller's point, I think they still do the bye for the team the week after their London game, right? They let them kind of reset. I believe that's how they still do it because there was a London game last week, Chicago and Oakland. There's a London game this week. Then Carolina might be in it. And then I think they get a bye going forward. But still, I mean, you're also making those teams travel. Think about that. Oakland had to play in London.
Yeah.
Is it a quick flight? Or you end up staying on the East Coast if you played there the week before or whatever. That's a mess.
Didn't one team play on the East Coast and then fly to London from there? They
probably
had two away games in a row.
Makes sense.
I think Chicago did.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did. But you're like, what?
By the way,
that interrupts the schedule.
Because it happened yesterday after the show, we hadn't mentioned it yet. But you'll be shocked to hear that Vontaze Burfict did not get his season-long suspension reduced.
Well, 12 games.
I don't understand the people stepping up and trying to vouch for his character or have a problem with the suspension.
Well, the two that have been the most the two people that I've heard defend Vontaze Burfict the most.
One is his coach.
No, it's three.
Yeah.
His coach, his agent, and Bill Romanowski.
There's a nice hat trick.
Mm. fellow Eagle.
I was
going to
say, what do you think of Bill Romanowski, Steve?
Bill's a great player. What?
Hello?
Hello? Great player.
That's all I need.
Was there a sentence coming after that?
This is what I do. When I listen to Tom Brady press conferences, I listen to what's not being said, and then I take what is being said. So I asked Steve D'Ossi about Bill Romanowski, and he said, great player.
Bill's a great player.
And then he stopped talking.
What?
Nothing.
What?
No.
I always wonder, from a players' association point of view, and I understand, you know, you're there to defend the rights of your players.
You have to.
What about the player who got cheap-shotted by this guy? Do you not defend him? Now, that guy gets
Jack Doyle?
Yeah.
Is he awake yet?
He might not be.
I mean, but my God.
My point is, what are you saying to Jack Doyle? I'm sorry, Jack, you know. Right, Montez means more.
Because a lot of times the biggest problem with player safety is players. Like, they're the ones that
almost
are going out
always.
There. Like, you can do so much with the helmet. You can do so much with the roughing the passer. Mm-hmm. You can do so much with things. And then it's guys. Now, there aren't a ton of Vontaze Burfict in the league. There's not as many of those guys that are
still,
like, this is how we play and this is how we're going to do it. Just for people who haven't heard it, this is Bill Romanowski, though, talking about Vontaze. You'll love this.
Do I think he should be fined? Yes. Do I think he should be kicked out of the league? No, I think it is absolutely dead wrong. This guy has handled himself like a pro. And yes, he is a violent mother effer. And I love the way he plays the game of football. And I truly believe this guy has cleaned up his act from previous years when he was with Cincinnati. And he is playing a cleaner brand of football. But the hit the other day, that was a rough one to watch.
Okay. I thought he cleaned up his act.
Did you guys play together?
I'll tell you this. Bill was a great player. he's a hell of a linebacker.
Did you guys overlap there?
No. No, Romo came in the year
after.
Is
he older than you? He's younger than you.
We are, and I know the game has changed and old-time football and all that. We're talking about a guy who spit in a man's face.
Yeah, J.J. Stokes.
Spit in his face mask.
Yeah.
Was it?
Bill Romanowski's a great player.
Was there warranted?
I don't know what JJ said to him.
Right.
Is there anything that warrants spitting in a man's face?
Probably no.
Well,
punch him in the face. You'd rather get punched in the face than spit in the face.
Yeah, but then you hit your hand on the face mask. That doesn't work too well.
I guess while you're on the football field, that's important. Right. Hey, take your helmet off.
Uppercuts to the chin.
Uppercut.
Yeah.
You take him right
better.
Out. Yeah. No problem.
That works better. Shot to the ribs. I don't know.
Bill Romanowski.
From what I hear, Romo's a great player.
For him to be suspended for the season, I think is bull.
I've been with Bill a few times.
My BC allegiances make me sound like an NBA coach talking about China.
That's fair. I need to learn more about it.
I need to learn more.
I have to
hear the whole interview.
I'm not really. Well, it gets worse.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Bacon, talking about bacon and something.
Yeah. It's really.
So I've been with him a few times. You've been with him more than me. I've talked to him a few times. He sounds like a guy who's taken a few shots to the head, doesn't he?
Yes.
More and more.
Because
he's sounding worse and worse.
Every time he hits a guy in the head, he's also hitting his head.
Yeah.
And so he's made other guys sound like he sounds right now. But
Or be killed.
Oh, he talked about, and he played a long time, right?
He did
15 years or more.
He did.
And he would talk about, like, he would go out there and he still would want to play. Like, he would go play special teams. Like, he was going on and on and on, and the guy's lost his mind. Actually, I don't even know if he ever had his mind.
He was a great player.
You're in.
No, you know what? Sometimes you get caught up, he started in the league 4 years after I did.
Yeah, his rookie year was 88 with the Niners, and he played from 88 to 03.
Yes.
Now, 03, he only played in three games.
Yep.
Every other season, though, in between, he played all 16.
Yep. And he was known
for a middle linebacker.
He was known as a dirty player.
100%.
Do you think?
100%.
Not even a question. If today's standards were in place, he'd be suspended
for a year.
Yeah, he would be Vontaze Burfict.
Which is why he's the guy defending Vontaze Burfict,
right?
Because he was Vontaze Burfict.
You can't look at the NFL through the prism of the 1980s or the 90s or the 70s or the 60s. It's not the same game. It's not the same world. They've decided that they want they don't want those kill shots.
Even
in the game.
90s is. It's so different. Like Rodney Harrison and Steve Atwater those guys, it would Ronnie Lott, they would just
Bill Romanowski.
Right there at the middle of it. Now it's they've taken that out.
It's and you know what? Fine, that's the product you have. You what does Belichick say? You do business is done.
Yeah.
To sit there and to want to throw it back to the 80s or 90s is silly. It's just not the way the game is now, and it doesn't make any sense.
All right, let's try John in New Hampshire again. Hey, John.
Hey, Dale, Keith, Steve, how are you?
What's up, John? What's going on?
So, Steve, I appreciate your knowledge always. Why don't they try to move it to Friday instead of Thursday? I mean,
they never will because they'll kill high school football.
High school and college likes to play a little bit on Friday. They don't do Saturday games until the college season's
because
wrapped
up. They don't want to kill the college game.
They don't overlap on those two. And I think also, let's say high school football wasn't Friday nights. I think it's a TV night, too. Thursday's still, and maybe it's a little archaic now because everybody DVRs everything and it's football and it would probably win out. But think about all the shows in the history of television that have been on Thursday versus Friday. Friday's where you put shows to die. Like that's like Friday and Saturday are the worst TV nights in
the
world.
I think the NFL probably thinks that they'd have viewers on any night, and they probably would. The biggest reason
they'd have
is
more Thursday,
they
though.
Don't want to hurt high school football, which is a feeder system. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hurt college football, which is a feeder system. They've always avoided Friday nights, Saturdays until the college season.
Right, which up here in New England, Friday nights, there's some teams that play Fridays, some play Saturdays.
Well, there's bugs out.
Yeah.
The bugs are out. You can't play.
The rest of the country, it's Friday night football. It's just the way it is.
Oh, they shut down. Yeah. I mean, in the South and places like Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but again, it's, would it be better than, sure, I guess one more day would be better, but they're not going to do that.
617-779-7937. Steve DeAssi's in the house with Dale and Keefe and Time to Trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI. No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30. It's noon 30. It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No,
you just said noon 30.
Called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Former WEEI employee, former teammate, Dan Cilio.
The WEEI employee?
He was here for a while. I actually hosted some shows with him at one point.
Really?
Yeah, it was a while ago, Dan Cilio tweeted out last night, quote, "Reports are that the Patriots have met with Drew Rosenhaus on the possibility of AB84 rejoining the team."
This guy, Mo Chanel?
He followed it up.
Just stealing his tweets?
Dan then followed it up about someone said to him, well, reports from who? And he wrote, "Someone who knows everyone," all caps, in the Patriots organization.
That would have been a great time to drop a yo mama. But he didn't do it. He went a different direction there. It's too bad. Do you believe him?
No.
Do you believe Dan Cilio more or less than Mo Chanel?
More than Mo Chanel, because at least I know Dan Cilio has played and has been, in the media for a while. I wouldn't know Mo Chanel if he walked through the door.
So let's narrow it down.
But just because the guy played doesn't mean he knows anything, right, Steve?
No, of course not. It might even disqualify you.
You're a liar.
What?
We got two guys in the afternoon who played.
Let me ask you this. That everyone, knows everyone in the organization?
Yeah. Who did you hear it from? He said, someone who knows everyone in the Patriots.
Okay,
that'd be Drew Rosenhaus.
Okay, is it Drew Rosenhaus?
Jonathan Kraft.
Jonathan Kraft knows everyone.
Everyone.
That's a good point. Yeah. Bill Belichick knows everyone.
Yeah. Casario knows everyone.
Yeah.
Tom Brady knows everyone.
But is Nick allowed to associate with everyone?
I don't think so. Especially this year. He's in a walk year. I wouldn't even tell Nick what the plan is.
It's got to be Rosenhaus.
And none of the other names that you mentioned, Jonathan Kraft.
Right. Right.
I don't picture any of them talking to Dan Cilio.
No.
Who is talking to Dan Cilio?
Or answering his phone call.
Yeah.
Rosenhaus would. He'll talk to anyone.
And does.
Let's get him on the show then.
Yep.
get Rosenhaus on here. Get to the bottom of this.
Oh, I thought you meant Cilio.
Yeah, me too.
I'm good. I'm all set. We can just read his tweets. They're all set.
Someone who knows everything. All right.
There's a lot of people like that.
Wow, this sounds like quackery.
Yeah. Everyone, not everything.
No, okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right, back to the calls. JD is in Springfield. Hey, JD.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, so the way I look at it here is Gronk's going to go out tonight and lay a goose egg, and he's going to be horrible, and he's going to have nowhere to go. His brand's going to get hit hard. It's going to be a Jason Witten all over again. He's going to have to hit the field to redeem his brand and himself.
It took Jason Witten a year of...
Yeah,
he's putting it all on the line tonight. I mean, so if he does, if he lays a goose egg, where does he go from there? He's going to have to come back.
Theory, JD. Although
he's going to have a week.
I like this. Yeah. He's going to get beat up on social media, and he's going to be back playing football.
Well, you pointed out when you were talking to Greg and those guys this morning, you don't think he's going to be very good either.
I don't think
he's going to be very good.
I don't. I think he's so caught up in the Patriot way that sometimes can lead to very generic answers. You don't want to offend anybody. You might not even be all that honest. You know, you kind of, and I don't think Gronk is going to be great, but it's not the showcase that Jason Witten is. He's not doing
he's not in the booth for Monday Night Football.
Pregame with like nine other dudes. Like
it also depends on how much he turns this into a shtick for the, you know, is he going to talk some football? Is he going to? I'm sure he will. I mean, when you talk football with Gronk, he knows what he's talking about. That's not the case. But can he separate Gronk, the legend, from Gronk, the guy you want to tell you about what's going to happen in the game?
We all love Gronk. Everybody loves Gronk. He's a great player. And the Gronk persona is obviously very big. And I think a lot of that is smartly done by him. It's well crafted by him.
Yeah, I don't think he's and a dope.
No,
which is
and,
the
and I'm not suggesting
that. Not only well crafted, it suits him and it is part of his nature anyway, which is great.
So I think all that is great. However, when we've seen him remember he did that bit like at the Golden Globes or whatever it was? Awkward, uncomfortable. And he's done some stuff like different little movie acts, small movie acts and roles like that. It's uncomfortable. Like, he's not great. I don't think he's going to be up there and be super smooth and break down the game and do all of that. And then if they try to use him in a comedic role, that can be tricky too, because sometimes in those shows, I give him credit, they'll take some chances with some different like little segments, but a lot of those don't have a high hit rate. Like,
right.
I don't think he's going to do very well at this.
Mike Lombardi on his podcast talked about Gronk's debut tonight.
Look, Gronk's, there's two Gronks, right? There's Gronk that the people know from the theatrics, and then there's Gronk who's way smarter than he pretends he is. And I think the way smarter Gronk's going to come out on TV with a little bit of fun. And, you know, he's been in enough Belichick's meetings that he's heard the key parts of what football is, and he'll be able to express those to the fans. So I think he'll do a good job. I don't think he's ever coming back. I think that's it. I think his body, he wants to be able to enjoy life, and he can make money, and he can become The Rock.
Ain't so, not going to become The Rock.
That's too high.
No, the highest paid he had me until actor that. On the planet.
Yeah.
And the charisma that The Rock has is really like unmatched. Like that's a hard guy to compare to.
Absolutely.
Like
right.
When he has a microphone in his hand, he's one of the most entertaining people going.
Not even a question.
Gronk doesn't have that, and that's not even a knock on Gronk. That's a difficult thing to have. And I just think he's kind of got himself in a tough spot. So if you take Lombardi's word that there's two different Gronks, and let's say Gronk goes up there today and they ask him about playing tight end with the Patriots, and he gives you this brilliant answer, which you know he has somewhere in his head about, you know, what you need to do and all the different
techniques. I agree
with
Lombardi that he's a lot smarter than what he portrays out there.
The vast majority of people like goofball Gronk.
Yes.
So if he goes on TV and he starts breaking down like, oh, this is how you run down the seam and all the different blocking techniques, do those fans that like him as the goofball, the 69 joke guy, are they saying, oh, great, I'm getting X's and O's by Gronk now?
Well, that's the line that you have to walk very carefully. You can still, if you can deliver that message in a way that still allows you to use some of your personality and some of the image that he's has cultivated, yes, you could. That would actually be the best possible way. Not easy to do.
Yes, absolutely, I think it's going to be a tough balance. And then, obviously, this is just game one. He's getting thrown right into this. So I wouldn't expect him to be, you know, a finished product.
Yeah, he'll have plenty
right
of opportunities to fine-tune it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no chance, 10 being absolutely positively, the chances that Gronk spikes a football tonight.
10, 11. They hand him a ball. Because don't they do the show outside?
11.
They do that park.
Even if it's out, even if it's not outside, they'll still let him do it in the studio.
They'll do it.
Yeah. They'll give him a Nerf ball so he can't break anything.
Yeah, maybe that's
like
a smart
Michael
idea.
Strahan.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That and yeah, you're right. But again, does
it
that,
is the perfect game to start him out, though. I mean, let's see how much he's willing to give up. I just think he's been so well coached about constantly talking about how good his teammates are and doing the, and just giving every all the Patriots speak for 9 years. Is he going to give you a Tom Brady story that we've never heard? Is he going to give you a Bill Belichick anecdote that we've never heard? I don't know. My guess is he keeps that stuff inside.
But there's a long line of former Belichick players that have done very well in the media.
True.
You know, you're talking about Rodney and Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis. You're talking about a lot of guys that have done well.
Yep.
But none of those guys was their image so what Gronk's is. You know, Gronk's got this caricature.
That,
yeah, he's got that. He's
this
got
big
a combination.
Goofball frat boy.
And a guy that loves football and had fun at football, and a guy who was usually where he was supposed to be. A guy who, right. you're not in that offense without being where you're supposed
he's
to be.
He's clearly very intelligent football-wise, and
right.
he's probably sneaky smart off the field, which he doesn't really want to portray, and I get it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think he probably got more advertising dollars because he was the front house guy.
But you don't want to be a comedic act for the networks. You don't want to be the guy that they turn to and because that'll get that's
right,
fine.
The punchline every time. That's not going to
right.
Well.
You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that brings something to the table. And I think he's capable of doing it, but he's going to have to absolutely be careful of being too Gronk. The Gronk that we know and love, or being none of that Gronk.
Except they already have one of those.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw is that guy already.
Yes, but that's a different generation, too.
No, I'm just saying he's the clown.
Agreed.
Yeah, and
they're grooming a new clown.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah.
But Terry can still speak football. That's not, I mean,
right.
that's, I mean, he does try to go for the cheap laugh here and there, but when push comes to shove, he can tell you about football, what's going on. And I'm sure Gronk can do the same thing. It's not that easy to do.
Ernie's up in Maine. Hey, Ernie.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey,
I wanted to get back to the Antonio Brown returning to the Patriots thing. And, and first off, I want to say I was excited about the signing when it happened, even though all of us had a little sick stomach feeling, you know what I mean? I don't want him to bring him back, that's for sure. And I think that the reason why he's gone is because some media reports before he got released connected his behavior to Bob Kraft. And I think Bob Kraft's previous situation in South Florida is the reason why he's gone.
I didn't see any connection.
No comparison. I think the word is comparison in terms of
comparison.
NFL.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Connection's
yes,
not
right.
connection.
It did get brought up a little bit again.
That's correct.
But yeah.
And I think that made Kraft very, you know, that was starting to die down and it had basically gone away. And I think that's why he's not here. If that never happened previously with Kraft, he's still on the Patriots sideline, I think.
I think if those texts to the woman didn't happen,
still
I think
the
that's
main.
See, that's
100%
that's what killed it.
I agree.
They had gotten past
they'd
the
come
other
to terms,
stuff.
Yep, they'd come to terms
and
with
they,
the fact
and
that
and
it was
by the
a
way,
civil...
they knew all of the other stuff.
Right.
The idea that this was dumped on them out of the blue and they had no idea, that's false.
Yep.
They knew. They've got a person on staff who investigates stuff just like that.
Absolutely right.
And they were fine's not the right word. They were accepting,
willing to
right,
see where
gonna,
it went.
That text killed it. The text and the feeling within the organization
Agreed.
Was he's trying to intimidate this woman.
Yep.
Who didn't do anything.
Yep.
She wasn't suing him. She wasn't, you know, she wanted to get her money that she
right,
was
she
owed.
Talked to Klemko. That was basically
that was
all
it.
She did. Right?
Yep.
And that's when maybe it was Robert, maybe it was Jonathan, whoever it was, said, listen, he's on our dime now, and he's out trying to intimidate this woman.
Yep.
He's got to go.
And they, I think they, you know, to that point, they probably realized that even a locker room as good and solid and professional as championship-driven as this wasn't going to change them.
Yeah, I think they said they don't want to be around for the next thing, you
yep.
know, because they had looked at everything else. So that was all 2017, 2018. He's
yep.
here. It's going to be different. And then that happens, and you're like, all right, well, even if we ask him, you know, are you done with all this? And he says, yes, you can't really believe him.
True.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve DeAussie's in the house with us. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
617-779-7937. When we had Peter King on at 11:30, one of the things we asked him about was, you know, the current mess with the NBA and China and whether the NFL would want to get involved or not. So they did play a game in China, well, this morning, our time. It was already completed. It was the Brooklyn Nets and the L.A. Lakers. Side note here, Rajon Rondo messed up Kyrie Irving's newly fixed face here, and he had to leave the game 2 minutes
in. That was pretty good. That was the highlight of the game.
So the game was played. China took all the corporate logos off the floor. Several sponsors pulled out. According to Rachel Nichols, the logos had been painted onto the floor. Workers had to re-sand the floors to get the logos off, and the money was withheld from the NBA. And then...
all over a tweet by a GM.
Right.
By the way, this whole thing.
And then what happened beyond that is the country, China, said no media availability of any kind during or after the game. Normally what happens is the coaches talk before the game. There's
no censorship.
There's an open locker room situation.
Restricting free speech? Get out.
I don't believe
it. The Chinese government canceled two NBA Cares events in Shanghai.
Just get out of there.
They then made, they said, you can't talk to the players. You can't talk to the coaches. Oh, by the way, you can't talk to Adam Silver either.
Well, I mean, I understand there's millions of dollars and money always talks, and that's what it is. And the NBA is going to try to see what happens here, and maybe as time goes on, maybe they'll end up getting a relationship there again. But I would just say get out.
Really?
Of there. Find money somewhere else.
I agree that that's probably the way it's going to happen. I'm with you 100%. But is that what you want, Philly? You want
to bail out of there?
No, I'm talking about no. I mean to go back. Like you
said. I don't. And I mean, and I'm sure there are some players and some GMs that are afraid to say anything that feel like let's just get out of here. I know it's the biggest country in the world, but we can try to get some more money elsewhere. We're still making a lot of money here.
Right.
It's a very popular worldwide sport. We're in, I don't know how many different countries that they're in.
Right. Just not the biggest.
Yeah, that one is the biggest. I understand it's the biggest.
And the second biggest economy in the world, too.
But like, what are we doing for money?
Now, the Houston Rockets are in Tokyo. There was a press conference today with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. A reporter from CNN tried to ask those guys the question, and this is what happened.
The NBA has always been a league that prides itself on its player and its coaches being able to speak out openly about political and societal affairs. I just wonder, after the events of this week and the fallout we've seen, whether you would both feel differently about speaking out in that way in future.
Excuse me,
it's a legitimate question. This is an event that's happened this week during the NBA. This particular question has not been answered. James.
Any other questions?
I mean, was that NBA? So bad.
That was a Houston Rockets PR
person.
Taking directions from management. And the two players, Harden and Westbrook, just sat there.
Yeah.
They never budged. They never said anything.
Well, because
they had been instructed, apparently.
Yeah. Bad look.
Harden the other day came out and apologized on behalf of Maury, or for Maury. I wouldn't say on behalf of Maury's not apologized, but Harden came out and issued an apology and said, we love China, and he's trying to smooth over the relationship there. Yeah, he did.
They should have. I heard it. They should have written it better for him.
Correct. Or he was just trying to say, well, he's very popular over there. I'm sure a lot of his, he gets a lot of money from them, whether it's sneakers or whatever else. Plus, he's on the Rockets, which was the most popular team thanks to Yao Ming over in China. And so I'm sure there's a lot of people that love James Harden, and he was trying to smooth that over. But my God, and I just think. I get sort of the argument, too, that I've also heard is that because a lot of the players and then Steve Kerr and Popovich in particular have really kind of turtled on this and they're not saying anything.
Embarrassing.
And I've heard the argument that, well, they're more focused on U.S. stuff and they're not focused on worldwide stuff. I can even understand that to a certain degree. But the way the league has responded, they have the PR people for every single team at every one of these press conferences making sure that that scene right there doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
They are so nervous about this. They're freaking out. On the one hand, I give Adam Silver some credit for, you know, not slamming Daryl Morey. And he didn't turtle.
Like,
I don't know. Free speech should be pretty important, right? And the NBA of all leagues has been gotten so much credit for allowing their players and coaches to speak their mind, and now you might lose some money or you will lose a lot of money in China, a place that does not allow free speech, and you're so quiet about it. It is a horrible look for the
NBA.
I
saw an analysis that suggested that the salary cap in the NBA is going to go down because of the money they're about to lose from the issues with China.
Crazy.
Right. And to your point, too, I understand that there's money involved. I understand that the difference between speaking out over here about injustices is it gets you Twitter applause. It gets you and free speech is, believe it or not, still allowed over here. The problem you have is that now you've decided that human rights and injustices that you're fighting against really only count for this part of the world. The human rights violations have been going on in China forever. They don't matter. If you care about human rights, don't you care about human rights everywhere? Or is it just your neighbors?
The video footage.
Apparently, just your neighbors.
Yeah.
The press conference was televised, and the video is posted. You heard the audio there. The young lady who's the reporter from CNN who was asking the questions, you see a guy reach in and try to take the microphone away from
her. Crazy. Like that part of it is almost even worse than the players kind of hiding from it. It's just clearly there's a mandate by the league. And then you hear even ESPN was told. The higher-ups at ESPN told them they can't talk about it. Because obviously there's a lot of money, you know, in the NBA and their relationship and everything else. And it's just, it's embarrassing. Like, they're just all tucking tail and just hoping that it gets resolved somewhere else and they're not going to speak out about it. And now, the next time Steve Kerr goes up there and blasts Donald Trump or does whatever else, actually, I wonder if there will be a next time.
Yeah, or now, that's a good question.
You know, or now do they just say, you know what, this kind of backfired in our face?
Yes.
Again, we're the most woke league in the world, but now we're just going to close our eyes when it comes to what's going on in China.
But you didn't think it out. You came to an answer that made you feel warm and fuzzy by bashing, not bashing, but by going after. Injustices in America.
You
Good
were supporting,
for you.
And that's fine.
You were supporting the protesters in Hong Kong,
right.
who were seeking democracy and more freedoms.
Right. But now you're not allowed to do that if you're in the NBA.
Right.
You're not allowed to do that.
The irony is everybody in the NBA agrees with Daryl Morey.
Right, but they're not allowed to do it. But
you can't talk about it. But you have to pretend that you don't know anything about
right.
it.
Right. So
I mean, you don't even need to know a whole lot about it. Isn't it pretty simple? Hong Kong wants pro democracy. China is saying no.
Right.
Do I need to know a whole lot more?
Yeah, they want free speech. They want internet access. They have it in Hong Kong, but they want it. They don't want the crackdown that China's trying to do. They want freedoms that you have now in America.
It's as simple as this. They are trying to basically remove the NBA from the country because of one tweet that one GM wrote.
Imagine that.
They've taken all the signs down. Yeah. They painted over walls. They sanded the logos off the floor.
The NBA would make a splash in this country if they said, screw you.
We're going home.
Like, can you imagine if, like, the Premier League, like, somebody who is, like, an owner of a soccer team in the Premier League, and they say something bad about America, and then we're like, that's it! No games will ever be televised. No international friendlies over here. We're getting rid of soccer. Like, you'll never see pro soccer here again.
Right.
That's insane.
It's but again, money talks.
It sure does.
And that's the problem.
The loudest.
A lot of money.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Diossi Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.